welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio special edition signing day podcast. I am your host, Ben Carlisle, joined by no one. What an exciting day it was for Louisiana Tech as the future of the program, the 2017 signing class, was announced to the public. Many kids signed on the dotted line. Lots of us Tech fans were wondering who the next Kentrell Bryce will be, who the next Trent Taylor will be, who the next Carlos Henderson will be, and could we possibly find another Tim Rattay? Well, I'm here to break it all down, recruit by recruit, breaking it down, actually. We will break down every prospect here in the next 20 to 30 minutes, and I look forward to it. I really do. I was able to have some access as the signing day process was going through, and it's truly remarkable to see the camaraderie that this coaching staff has with one another. They truly love each other. This is a signing class that they are all proud to have seen paid off after 364 days of working hard on these kids, and sometimes it's been a little longer. But enough with all the blah blah talk. Let's get into some of these guys. First, I want to point out some of the guys that are already on campus. You look at a kid named Michael Sam, Trinity Valley Community College. He's already signed. He should be at spring ball. A kid that, you know, great size for a cornerback. I think we as BTBers, we all know how Tech has struggled in the secondary the past few years and could definitely use an upgrade. So Michael Sam's a guy that should come in and play right away. He was actually a soft verbal commit to ULL, but it's always good when Tech can win a battle with ULL, absolutely. Michael Sam, he also had a legitimate Arizona offer. I know he was talking with Oregon. Many P5 schools were talking with him. But Tech had an opportunity to swoop in late on him and pick him up and add him to this recruiting class, sometimes a smaller recruiting class, but definitely base heavy on defensive back. So Michael Sam was a big-time pickup. If you take a look at his tape, he's a great return man, great ball skills. He's just explosive. I think he's that corner that, you know, like Kevin Curtis said today in the signing day social, that Michael Sam, come the first day of spring practice, he'll be out there at the one. So that's definitely a positive for all of us Tech fans to know that Tech got a community college kid that should look to contribute right away. Another guy we want to point to is two offensive linemen. Both come out of Blinn Junior College in Texas. One is Hanner Shipley. Shipley originally signed with LSU as a tight end. I think he was going to be more of a tight end that not necessarily stretched the field, but more of a guy that set the edge, bigger tight end for LSU. He was super raw back then. I think he only weighed about 250 pounds. But now if you look at him now, he's about 6'5", 315 pounds. He'll play the tackle position, can also shift inside. Many of you will remember Shipley's related to, he's actually the cousin of former Texas wide receivers, Jordan Shipley and Jackson Shipley. So, you know, clearly the bloodlines of that family is very, very talented. So we look at Shipley as a guy who should be able to come in right away, contribute, maybe add some depth on that offensive line. You look at the loss of Darryl Brown at tackle. So definitely a spot that could be had out at left tackle as Dwight Stallworth returns. He played a lot of right tackle along with Josh Outlaw. So another guy, Shane Carpenter, that we touched on BTB radio the other night. So Carpenter's mostly played right tackle. So we'll see. I think Shipley has a good spot in this class. He was actually committed to FAU before he decommitted and ended up at Tech. So he could be a good fit for the Bulldogs. Nice add, definitely. The other offensive lineman out of Blinn Junior College is Drew Kirkpatrick. Kirkpatrick is 6'4", 310 pounds. If you take a look at his tape, he's extremely athletic, a guy that can really destroy guys in the run game. He finishes his blocks really well. He's a guy that he holds up well in pass protection as well. I expect him to come in, as Coach Holt spoke on today. He's probably going to be the starting center next year. You look at Tech having lost Joseph Brunson, Kirby Wixon, and David Mahaffey. I believe that's the first, second, and third string center. So, you know, there's definitely a spot. Another guy, Cody Russey, He's a guy that redshirted last year. He'll be a redshirt freshman this year. He'll be vying for playing time at that center position, along with Tech signee Joshua Moat. We'll get to Moat here more in a sec. But, yeah, Kirkpatrick, I look for him to be the center of the center this year. You know, of course, things could change if he comes in and doesn't perform as well. But he's a guy who will be on campus for spring practice as well. So he'll get a head start, and he's a big pickup on the offensive line. Another guy, Randy Hogan, linebacker, 6'1", 230 pounds, Pearl River Community College. Kid that can really run. He can really run. And you look at Tech losing Lloyd Grogan, losing Dalton Santos, and losing Jordan Harris. You know, Tech's going to be needing some guys at the linebacker position that could come in and play right away. Hogan had 98 tackles at his previous stop last year at Pearl River Community College. So, yeah, he's a guy that will come in right away, vie for some playing time. He's also very good at rushing the passer, whether he's coming up the middle or coming around the edge. He'll be a good pickup as well. So I look for him, along with Russell Ferris, Brandon Derman, Colin Scott, possibly Dante Williams, Devin Hamilton, a lot of young guys in that linebacker core that have a chance to contribute. It'll definitely be exciting to see the competition play out through the spring, as, you know, Tech these past few years have struggled with covering the tight end down the middle of the field. So you never know. Hogan could be that answer that Tech's looked for that records 115, 120 tackles, all-conference USA player. I definitely think he has the skills too. I know that Tech linebackers coach Lanier Gautier is very high on Randy Hogan, as well as Brandon Derman and Russell Ferris. So we'll see how that plays out. I anticipate you could see Cedric Cooper moving down in the box some. He's more of a box-type safety, so he could be that fifth defensive back or safety. So we'll see what happens in spring practice. It definitely should be interesting. The final two guys, the junior college kids that signed early, one is a kicker out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Brady Farlow. Farlow comes by the way of Jones County Junior College. He'll have 4 years to play 3 years, so that's definitely nice for Tech. Farlow, if you take a look at his tape, it's outstanding. He kicks the ball deep on kickoffs, a lot of the times out of the end zone. And Coach Holtz pointed out even that Farlow, you know, he's a guy that he's got a lot of leg. He's really strong, and I think that Coach Holtz and the staff could look for Farlow to actually take over some kickoff duties this year, as Jonathan Barnes, you know, as the season wore on last year, he wore down a little bit. So, you know, Farlow's a guy, he's definitely the kicker of the future, but we'll see how he contributes. You never know, but he looks good on tape, I'll tell you that much. So we'll see. He was actually 10 of 15 as a freshman at Jones County Junior College. It's good for 67%, so definitely room to improve, but he's got the talent. The final junior college signee, or junior college guy that will be on campus for the spring, that is the old punter from down under, Davin Dyer, 6'4", 230. Don't mistake him for a linebacker. Dyer is a kid who has played a little professional Australian rules football in Australia, but was looking to come to the States and play American football. So I know that Coach Holtz and his staff did a great job at finding Davin after looking through another Australian punter that they really liked at the junior college ranks. And Armani Perez, the recruiting coordinator, did a good job at getting Tech in connection with the Australian kicking league over there. And Davin's a guy that he has great size. He can punt the ball really well, traditional style or the rollout style punting. And so, you know, you look at punter for Tech, it's being inconsistent over the years, but I think really Davin Dyer could come in and solidify the situation. He's a guy that definitely has a lot of talent. You know, he's Australian. What more could we want? He might pull off a little ladies while he's in Ruston. You know, could be a kid's dream come true, or even a young Tech lady dream come true. So we'll see. But Dyer will definitely be a nice pickup for the staff after the graduation of Gerald Schaus, Logan McPherson. The two punters graduated along with Kyle Fisher at kicker, as well as Daryl Travis at deep snapper. So Tech's definitely, that's four specialists they're losing, but I think they've all got those replaced with adequate guys, and it should be exciting to see what those guys can do for sure. Now, we're going to shift a little bit to the offensive line. We're going to focus a little bit on the freshman offensive line. Two guys, number one, you got Connor Estes. He's a kid out of Moss Point, Mississippi. You know, a bigger school, you never know what he's going to be like. So we'll see. He definitely should be a good performer. He's a young kid, only 17 years old. He won't be 18 until fall camp starts. He played on an offensive line that was majority run-oriented offense. I know that Southern Miss was a school that was on him hot, as Coach McFarland mentioned. They were none too happy when Estes chose to come to Tech. But that just goes to show you the quality of people that Tech recruits and the attraction of the family-like atmosphere that Coach Holtz and Coach McFarland and Coach Petrie and all the Tech coaching staff have for one another. So Estes will be a welcome addition. I think that right now he's about 6'4", 6'5", about 3'10". I know he'll be expected probably to redshirt this year, but it'll be good for him to really get in that weight room with Kurt Hester, develop that body, and be ready to play. The other high school offensive lineman is Joshua Moat out of Elm Grove, Louisiana. He's 6'3", 275, 280. Tech will look to beef him up a little bit to get him into that 290, 295. He fits more into a interior offensive lineman, whereas Estes was a left tackle, right tackle type guy. But most of that big guy, he's a big nasty inside. I think you could see him at guard or you could see him at center. I think he could play both of them. He's really athletic. He's a road grader down there through the middle. So, he was a kid that was recruited by a lot of schools within Tech's conference. So he'll be a guy that comes in, hopefully redshirts as well, with O'Shea Dugas returning at left guard, Ethan Reed returning at right guard, along with a couple of younger guys behind those two. So you hope that Tech can really redshirt those two young offensive linemen and really be able to develop them, bring them along slowly. But we'll see what happens. It definitely could be interesting, so we'll see. Now let's shift out to the wide receivers to break down the wide receivers. Tech brought in three receivers in this class. Griffin Hebert, Quaylen Williams, and George Scott. George Scott's a kid out of Natchez, Mississippi. I know this coaching staff's really excited to get their hands on. Scott can really go get it. He's a fast kid. He's played private school ball in Mississippi. He's a kid early on that it was kind of question about whether he would qualify or not, but I think he's going to make it to campus. So he'll be fun. He really attacks the ball when it's in the air. And he's also, I believe he's a basketball player as well. So any of those dual sport guys throughout high school, they can really get it. And I know George Scott was a guy that was on Tech's campus for a few camps, and he really, really impressed. There wasn't too many kids that could go man-to-man with him and really lock him down. So it'll be good to get him into campus, with so much talent returning at receiver for Tech. When you talk about Adrian Hardy, Teddy Veal, Alfred Smith, Cam McKnight, Marlon Watts, Marcus Gaines coming back off of an injury, Rashid Bonnet, and Javonte Woodard. There's just so much talent that Tech has at receiver. So, it could be tough for any of these three guys to avoid being redshirted. But, they'll come into fall camp and be ready to compete. And I know that this coaching staff they're looking for competition. The more competition you create amongst your players, the better it's going to make them. So it should be fun to see that. The second receiver we'll discuss is Quaylen Williams. Quaylen's a 6'3", 210 receiver out of Stamps, Arkansas, Lafayette County. Joe Sloan was a guy that him and Coach Fitch went and recruited this kid, and they really like what they see. He's only played a year or two of football, so he's extremely raw. He has a lot of learning to do as far as learning the game, learning different parts of his route tree, He played some defensive back in high school. He went to a smaller school, so he has great ball skills. I honestly think he's more one of the more underrated receivers in this class, or even players as a whole. So, you know, he could play inside or outside. That's the great thing about all three of these guys, with George, Quaylen, and Griffin. You never know where they might fit in. You know, you look at a guy like Trent Taylor, who's pretty much an inside guy. You know, some of that was due to his lack of speed. Some of it was due to his size. But we all know he did a great job at it. So, Quaylen Williams will be a good one. He'll obviously redshirt probably just to get a year of learning under his belt and be able to really grasp that Tech offense. Another guy we're going to talk about is Griffin Hebert. Griffin's a big 6'3", 210-pound receiver. St. Thomas More, coming off a state championship. He's just a winner. He's a kid that he knows how to play the game. He can create separation from the outside receiver spot. He knows how to high point the ball very well, and he can make plays down the field. When you look at Tech's offense, you know, they like to go deep sometimes, and then, you know, once they go deep, they'll get that defense loosened up some, and then they'll run it. So Griffin will be another guy. He'll blossom in this offense. I truly think he's a good receiver. He'll fit this offense well, and Tech fans definitely have a lot to be excited about with him. The last offensive guy we're going to get to is obviously probably one of the higher-rated kids in Tech's class is Elijah Walker. Elijah committed to Tech back in July of 2016. Really, really smart kid. He's a dual-threat guy out of a meet. We'll talk about another guy from a meet that came by the junior college ranks in Jordan Baldwin here in a little bit. But, you know, Elijah Walker, he's 6'2", 6'3", 210 pounds. He has that college quarterback body already. I think he's ready to play. You know, he's a guy that could come in and play. But obviously with Jay Marr coming back as a sophomore, Elijah's going to redshirt. He can definitely get better with his footwork. First and foremost is he's going to be a drop-back passer. He fits that Tech mold. He can add to the table if he you know, with his running ability. But, you know, he's always looking to pass first. And one thing, Coach Rete, if you're at the social or able to listen to the social, I'm not sure if it was broadcast, but Coach Rete raved about this kid's work ethic. He wants to be good. From day one when he was committed to Tech, he was going to be a Tech Bulldog. And I remember Coach Rete referenced that he called Elijah last night and was, you know, wondering, what you going to wear tomorrow? You know, what time you sign? And Elijah's question was, when can I get the playbook, Coach? He wanted that playbook. He wants to start digging in and getting ready because he wants to be as good as he can possibly be. And I think that's something that shows the quality that he is. You know, with Coach Rete, he's a smart, smart quarterback, and I don't think he would take a kid that he didn't believe in. This was the only quarterback that Tech offered in this class, so he'll be a good one. You know, it'll be 2, 3, 4 years down the road, possibly a junior, before he sees some time, unless we have some injury to Jamar or Price or Jack Abraham or John Randall Belton. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, but Elijah Walker is one of the prizes of this class, so nice, nice pickup for Tech. So he'll be really good. So it'll be interesting to see his development over the next 3, 4 years. The next guy we want to get to is two really good defensive ends. When you think about Milton Williams and you think about Tristan Allen. Tristan Allen is a guy that comes from a small school in Atlanta, Texas. Tristan's about 6'3". He's listed around 210, but I think he's around 235 right now. If you watch his tape, he has a high motor. I know that Tech defensive line coach Rick Petrie is looking for those high motor guys that really never quit on a play. And if you watch his tape, there's a couple of videos of him running down some guys from a long ways away. And that's something that you can definitely be impressed with. So Tristan's a good one. He'll probably come in redshirt with Tech's depth at the defensive line. I know that prize recruit last year, Willie Baker, was even redshirted this year. So if you look at Tristan Allen and Milton Williams, if they both redshirt, you know, that's not a big deal. Sometimes that's just what happens. It doesn't mean you're a bad player. You look at Jalen Ferguson, he redshirted. Deldrick Canty redshirted. Those are Tech's two starting defensive ends and two kids that can really play the game. So it'll be exciting to see Tristan Allen as he progresses through the program and gets a lot stronger. Other defensive ends, Milton Williams. He's a 6'4", 235-pound guy out of Crowley, Texas. He's going to be a kid that'll really he'll really jump off the page if you watch some of his video. He can really get after guys. He's a basketball player too. He's a hard worker. Extremely good athlete. He's really fast. Tech coach has raved about his speed off the edge. If you got that speed off the edge, you can definitely be a big time weapon. So I look for Milton Williams to come in, maybe redshirt. Another thing on him is Coach Petrie talked about how throughout the last 2 years of high school, his job has actually been washing dishes. And he pointed out how these days you don't normally see kids do that. You know, they would say, I got something better to do. But he's a kid that he's a worker. And I know he's going to come in and he's going to get better. So it'll definitely be fun to watch. But let's shift right now. We'll shift it back. I think we touched on the linebackers. We're kind of just going through. We cover the specialists first, or well, along with the junior college kids. We talked about the offensive line, then we moved to the receivers, and we moved to the quarterback spot. So then we talked about some of the D-line. We've already touched on Randy Hogan. Another thing about Randy Hogan, he's got a tireless work ethic. He's a guy that he's already on campus watching a ton of film. He's going to look to contribute. He wants to be good. That's another thing. He loves the competition. So Randy Hogan, I can't guarantee he's going to start, but I can tell you he's going to make an impact. I think he's going to play, and those are the type of junior college kids that you want. If you recruit junior college kids that have to come in a red shirt, you might have missed on them. But we'll see what happens with Randy Hogan. But now we'll shift to the defensive backs. You look at Tech brought in six defensive backs in this class. Clearly, that was the focus. Coach Holtz pointed out how, in his press conference, how Tech struggled, you know, the past year, past 2 years with pass defense. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to play pass defense with all the spread offenses, spread option. But, you know, bottom line is you got to learn to stop it. So the first guy that we'll talk about is safety Colin Hurt. Colin's a kid out of Gilmore, Texas. He's an East Texas kid. He'll really hit you. He was the first commitment that Tech had in this class, and he stuck with Tech since last summer. So it was rewarding for the staff to see him sign. I know he fielded a late offer from Oklahoma State, really tried to pull him out from Tech. But he was committed to Tech. I know he's excited to get to campus. You look at him, he's only about 180 pounds. And with that 6'3" frame, this is just an opinion of mine, but you have to look at him putting on 35, 40 pounds, getting to that 225, 235-pound range, and playing linebacker. With his instincts, with his ability to really hit you, he loves to play the game, and he'll pop you. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Colin Hurt ends up playing safety or if he ends up moving down to a weak side linebacker, or a strong side linebacker, or that middle linebacker, or maybe he plays that down-the-box safety. That, you know, we've seen Lloyd Grogan play or Cedric Cooper play in the past couple of years, even Damarian King. So Colin Hurt's definitely an intriguing prospect. He brings great size to the table. So I'm really excited about him. I really am. I think that, you know, 3-4 years down the road, he's going to contribute. So we'll see what happens with him. But he's a nice-looking prospect, that's for sure. Another guy we'll talk on is Jordan Baldwin. He's originally out of Amite, Louisiana. He came to Tech by way of Iowa Central Community College. Jordan played his high school ball with Elijah Walker. They are two teammates that loved one another, and I know they're both excited to be able to play with each other again. Baldwin's a kid, great ball skills. He'll really pop you. If you watch his video, you only have to watch for 30, 45 seconds, and you'll see he'll pop you. So he's another kid, junior college kid. He'll be expected to come in and contribute right away. He has the talent. And, you know, I look for him to be pretty good. He'll be a good one. We'll see, you know, as far as what good is. Is it a good backup or is it a solid starter? Is it an all-conference USA player? That's to be determined, but definitely he'll provide some depth, and he has some talent. Next, we'll shift to probably the three prized recruits of this class. These are three kids that I've really followed closely throughout the recruiting process, and I'm really excited about. So the first one is Ja'Corian Andrews. Ja'Corian is a kid out of Neville High School. 6'1", 180. He can play the safety position, or he can play the or corner. But he has great size. He's a kid that was sought after by many Power Fives. You look at Tennessee, Arkansas, Indiana, Missouri, Big Ten, SEC schools. You know, that shows how much talent he has. So, you know, he could possibly redshirt, but I'd expect him to contribute. He'll be in that two deep. I know Coach Curtis expects him to be in that two deep, especially with his good size. And he comes from a Neville program that was 41-1 throughout his 3 years on varsity. So you look at 41-1, that'll show you that he was a winner. That's for sure. And so it'll be interesting to see him along with his teammate that we'll get to in a second, but Jaden Cole. But Andrews is really physical in the run game. He doesn't miss tackles very often. And, you know, that's what you need. A good corner, a good safety that's a good tackler makes you that much better. A lot of safeties or a lot of corners especially those lockdown-type corners, you know, that you look at even college, NFL, sometimes lack that physical play, really want to hit you. But he's a guy that will hit you, and he has good ball skills. The next guy we'll look at is Jaden Cole. Jaden's also out of Neville. We mentioned 42-1 throughout his throughout his high school career. He's probably the most decorated signee that the Tech staff has had in a long, long time. You look at Notre Dame, you look at Arkansas, you look at Kansas State, Mississippi State, you know, Tennessee. All these programs were on him from the beginning. If you look at his ESPN ranking, he's actually rated as the 26th best athlete in the country, which is really good. And he's also a four-star if you look at ESPN's rankings as well. So, you know, that's really high praise for a kid that I think will come in and contribute as a true freshman. I think he can start at safety. You look at the void left by Xavier Woods. He could possibly come in and fill that role. And he could be the next Xavier Woods. You know, he's a really athletic kid. Played quarterback in high school his last 2 years. He's a running quarterback, obviously. But, you know, he played safety as a sophomore on a state championship team. So, you know, he'll be a good safety at Tech. He'll really hit you. He has good size. I know these Tech coaches are really excited to get him on campus and see what he has to offer. You know, he's really got a lot of talent. I'm really impressed with all that he can do on a football field. He's got, you know, multi-talented kid. Last kid, you know, the Tech recruiting class. We'll touch on one more after this, actually. But Amik Robertson. Amik is a high school kid out of Thibodaux, Louisiana. Thibodaux High School. Probably the prize recruit of this class. I know that he'll, you know, he decommitted from Tech, then he recommitted to Tech. I'd say he's the most underrated player in the state. I've heard him referenced as the best player in the state. Is he the best player in the state? Time will tell. I know a lot of schools were scared off from a meet due to his knee injury. I know he had knee surgery back in January or February, so. You know, he'll be a guy that he'll come in, he'll play free safety, he'll play nickel corner maybe. He'll help out in the return game. He was, you know, Texas, Purdue, Oklahoma State, LSU, Kansas State, Arizona were all on him late trying to get him. And Tech coaches did a great job at closing the deal with him. I know that family was really important to him throughout the recruiting process, and these coaches did a great job at preaching family, and Amik really felt that when he was in the Tech locker room. So that's definitely high praise for even the team, as well as the coaching staff. And he has great ball skills. He can find the football really well. He's not a corner that'll get beat with his back to the ball and, you know, get a pass interference because he doesn't get his hips turned. He'll get his hips turned, and then when you get the ball in his hands, he's dangerous. He's electric. Whether it's receiving a punt, picking a ball off, picking up a fumble, he can really play the game. We had Mike Dettillier on the Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Tuesday night, or last night, and he just raved. He said he had seen Amik play a few times, and he's one of the top two or three players to come out of the Bayou area in the last 10 years. And Mike Dettillier has seen a lot of football players come out of that South Louisiana area, so that's definitely some high praise. And like I mentioned earlier, that knee injury probably scared off a few schools. But that'll bode well for Tech, you know. Hey, pick up a kid and let him capitalize. You know, with the recent 15 players recently placed in the NFL, you know, it can only help Tech as far as their chances in getting some guys. So that was a nice pickup. The last guy we'll touch on is Kennedy Madison. Kennedy's a kid out of Ouachita High School in Monroe. Originally was committed to Tech last year. It was going to be a part of the 2016 class. Ended up suffering a season-ending injury. Had to undergo some surgery. So, he had to undergo surgery. And then after he underwent his surgery, Tech wanted to get him on a gray shirt. And so that's what they did. And he's going to be a good player. He's an athletic player. He'll come in probably red shirt, get another year on that knee, make sure it's healthy. And then we'll see what happens from there. But all in all, Tech signed 20 in this class. There's a couple of spots open potentially for some grad transfers. I wouldn't expect any grad transfers at receiver or running back or quarterback per se. You look at Jamar return at quarterback. You got a lot of talent at running back and receiver as well. Maybe on the offensive line, if that two deep isn't filled out, if the coaching staff isn't comfortable. But it'll be interesting to see about the transfers. You know, they could always look to find one at linebacker, even corner, if they feel some guys are too young. But who knows? It's too early to tell. Coach Holtz said that you have to look after spring practice to see who you might need as far as a transfer. And he said they'll receive over 200 releases from guys looking to be picked up. So it'll be fun. I know Coach Holtz will do a great job. And I'm just looking forward to spring practice. Spring practice gets underway on a Friday, March the 10th. I know I'll be out there hopefully watching it. And should be an exciting time to get to see this new crop coming off of a nine-win season the last 3 years. Should be a lot of interesting position battles as well. You look at, you know, some guys replacing on the offensive line. Who's going to replace Trent Taylor? Who will replace Carlos Henderson? It'll probably be more of a team deal as far as who replaces those guys. But that'll be interesting to watch for the young guys, Adrian Hardy. And then you look, like we talked about earlier, with Teddy Veal. Teddy's the transfer out of Tulane. That he was a leading receiver for Tulane for 2 years in a row before they went to the option offense. So Teddy's definitely got some talent. Then you look on the defensive side of the ball. Linebacker should be interesting. You know, Brandon Derman established himself some last year, along with Russell Ferris. Russell did a good job in the middle, maybe a little undersized, so we might could see him shift to either strong side or weak side linebacker. But we'll see. And then, you know, the secondary, that's going to be the fun part. You lose two senior corners, Prince Sam, Cyril Nolan Lewis. You lose Xavier Woods at safety. You return Cedric Cooper. You return. You also return Demarion King. So you know, it'll be interesting. Ephraim Kitchen returns. Zach Hannibal comes in as a redshirt freshman, along with Aaron Roberson. He'll be a redshirt sophomore, along with Trey Spencer. So it's a lot of bodies back there. And then you add in Theron Williams. Then you add in six new defensive backs. So the competition level will be outstanding. And it should be a fun one. Spring games on April the, I believe it's April the 8th. I shared that on the board, so for those of you looking. Another thing before we wrap this up, I just want to say thank you all. It's been my first 2 weeks with Bleed Tech Blue. It's definitely been a whirlwind, but I've enjoyed every minute of it. I'm thankful that y'all are on the board and been patient with me throughout it. And I look forward to continuing to provide y'all with great coverage like Jay Ford did and for so many years. And this is a passion of mine, just like it's a passion for all of you. And I look forward to working with all of y'all and look forward to meeting all of y'all. So if there's anything else that y'all have questions on regarding signing day, regarding some recruits, I'll be more than happy to answer it. But just let me know, and I'll be looking to start sharing some stories, getting them out there. But thanks for joining us on a special edition podcast, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, emphasizing signing day 2017. I'm sure the coaches are already back to work on the 2018 class. For Bleed Tech Blue Radio, this is your host, Ben Carlisle. Until next time, we'll see you later.